Healthcare Monitoring System. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be those of Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who are going to be talking to us about RFID identification and this whole effort to track the citizens of our country. Now, most people really can't believe that that could really be the objective of what's going on, and yet we've heard, of course, the real ID card, this whole idea that every driver's license would become an identification card with an RFID chip in it, because that's how we're going to thwart Osama bin Laden, who's living over there in a cave in Pakistan. He wants to take away our freedom, but boy, are we going to spool him. We're going to all have, everybody's going to have an ID card, and maybe later on, well, maybe they'll even want to inject them into people. That would make it even be harder for Osama bin Laden to be able to control us. Well, anyway, with that as a background, Catherine, thank you so very much for being with us.
Hey, Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, why don't you just bring us up to date with what's going on as far as RFID? And I saw something the other night that apparently CBS had put on where you were talking about, of course, how at least in certain mice, why the RFID implants led to sarcoma, and then they went to the doctor who was in charge of, I guess it was the Verichip, and he had never heard of anything of that sort. He was sure they were perfectly safe.
Well, I got to say that doesn't make any sense at all, given that his company was clearly aware of these studies and actually hid them from the FDA based on all the research and all the evidence that we've been able to uncover. It certainly looks as though that company knew about it. In fact, they admitted to knowing about the studies at the same time that they were denying knowing about the studies. So that's always kind of suspicious there. These were studies that went back 10 years, 1996 through 2006, that showed that implanted microchips cause fast-growing malignant cancers in mice and rats that they're injected into for identification purposes in laboratories. And what they discovered was that these microchips are anything but inert. They actually get inside of the body, and they give rise to a whole set of tissue changes as the body tries to adapt to this large foreign body inside of there. And that those tissue changes can cause precancerous conditions that in about 1% of cases actually leads in these animals to full-blown cancer. Okay. So here's the good news, and I always like to start off with a little bit of good news because there's so much bad news on so many fronts in the issues that you and I talk about. One piece of extraordinarily good news is that when we got together with the Associated Press reporter, Todd Lewin, to uncover these studies, I was down in the basement of the Harvard Library, the Harvard Medical School Library, photocopying dusty journals that had been there for 10, 12 years, and getting this information to the Associated Press. And Todd Lewin, the very intrepid investigative reporter with the Associated Press, put in about 6, 8 months of his life into pursuing this. into following up every lead, trying to figure out how it tied in with major government officials like Tommy Thompson, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, who at the time was in charge of the Food and Drug Administration when it approved the VeriChip implant as a medical device, which it never should have done had it seen this research. This research was all hidden, or at least I believe the company was aware of it, and we have plenty of evidence on our website at antichips.com that points to that. But the FDA claims not to have been aware of this, and so Todd Lewin went and investigated all of this. We worked together to get all of the stones unturned, or I guess turned over. We turned over all the stones. And he wrote an explosive article that was carried in virtually every major newspaper in the world about this cancer connection. And we watched the VeriChip company stock soon thereafter plunge from a high of about $11.60 a share down to today, where it's trading for mere pennies a share.
Hold that thought now for just a moment. Well, right now, of course, I have to introduce you to our new stations coming on board and our guest this afternoon, Dr. Carlton Albrecht. And we're talking about the RFID chips, and of course, there's a modification of that. Well, maybe not a modification, but something called the VeriChip, which, of course, they would like very much to actually inject into people. Now, of course, some of these chips are injected into animals at the present time. And of course, the government has a rule now how far along they are to implementing it. But every farm animal in the entire United States has to have some sort of an RFID identification, or at least this group of animals has to have a RFID identification. And that's why the poor old cows, you'll see them, the steers out in the range with a little label on their ear, and of course it's got an RFID identifier in there. But when you start, you know, with small farms insisting that every chicken and every goose and every lamb and every goat have an RFID identifier, this gets pretty ridiculous. Well, of course, there was a question that was raised about the relationship between the RFID chips, and I assume these were the VeriChips, and, of course, the sarcomas, and apparently why, of course, the AP reporter actually did the research. They put the stock out, and put out the report. It was in literally every newspaper about the relationship between the VeriChip, which is a prototype of this, and then of course the incidence of sarcoma. And you were just saying, what happened to this stock for VeriChip?
Well, we watched it go from a high of over $11 a share down to a low where it's currently essentially this decimated the company, just destroyed it. Prior to all of that work that Todd Lewin put in and that I put in for that span of time, the VeriChip Corporation was making huge inroads in promoting human microchip implants for medical purposes. They had signed some agreements with some diabetic organizations, with some heart organizations. They were working with Blue Cross Blue Shield and with the Hackensack Medical Center of New Jersey to run trials. They were working with the Alzheimer's Community Care Center in West Palm Beach, Florida, to chip Alzheimer's patients and their caregivers, both. They really appeared to be on quite a roll in moving forward with this human chipping. And what I'm just absolutely grateful for is the fact that we were able to get a hold of this information and nip that whole cycle in the bud, so we were able to kind of put that monster back into its cage.
But, of course, they're always going to come back again and again and again. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Catherine was just saying that basically because of the article that appeared in the Associated Press, why the VeriChip stock has been decimated, going from $11 or more down to pennies now, and of course, the company's having a very, very real time, but they were just on the verge of making a breakthrough before the information got out across the country of the relationship between the chip and the VeriChip, and of course the incidence of sarcoma in animals. Now, one of the explanations they give is that, well, these animals were specially bred to be prone to have sarcomas. Is there any truth to that?
Well, we address all of these questions in a document that I put together. It's an 84-question FAQ, or list of frequently asked questions, that we have posted on our website at anti-chips or antichips.com, A-N-T-I-C-H-I-P-S.com. You can find it linked right under the picture of our protest at that Alzheimer's Community Care Center I mentioned. We had a prayer vigil and a protest out front. And if you scroll down underneath that picture, you'll see a link to that document. One of the things that we address, of course, all of those rebuttals that the company attempted to make to try to discredit the research. And if you actually read the studies, it's very clear that the fact that the genetically modified mice developed cancer is even more disturbing. Let me see if I can explain that. There is a special type of genetic modification that can be done to a mouse to make it very sensitive to what are called genotoxins, genetic toxins. And in the presence of genotoxins, these genetically modified mice develop cancer. In the absence of genotoxins, they do not develop cancer. That's why researchers use that specific type of genetically modified mouse. Now, what they found in normal mouse populations without any genetic modification was that approximately 1% of these mice developed cancer. What they found in the genetically modified mice that are sensitive to genotoxins is that 10% of those mice developed cancer. So even though the company, I think they've sort of preyed upon people's unwillingness to read a dense academic report, and they've just said, oh, yeah, well, those are genetically modified mice designed to get cancer. What they failed to say is those are genetically modified mice designed to only get cancer in the presence of potent genotoxins. And the fact that those mice developed cancer in conjunction with the microchip implant, literally surrounding the microchip implants, is a very, very stern indictment of their product and actually is some of the most damning evidence against them, indicating that their product not only causes cancer in regular mice, but is actually a genotoxin.
All right. Now, basically, how is the VeriChip different than the regular RFIG chip?
Well, the only thing that's different about it, there's two things that make a VeriChip different from an ordinary, quote-unquote, RFID tag, and that is the fact that the ordinary RFID tags do not have to survive the harsh environment of the interior of the human body or an animal body. So in order to make them withstand the liquid environment and the temperature differentials and all of that inside of a human body, they encapsulate the RF components into a capsule of glass. And so the VeriChip is essentially a microchip and an antenna, just like any RFID tag, but it's been encapsulated in medical-grade glass. And then it's coated. See, in the early days when they would inject these into people, they had a problem because a little capsule of glass is sort of like a torpedo in a moist environment of a body. And they found that these things would actually tunnel through the flesh of their host and oftentimes, you know, in some cases even puncture internal organs or wind up in places where they were not supposed to be. And so what they developed then was a coating that they could dip this microchip capsule into. It's a plastic coating. It's called polypropylene coating. And when they dip it into this polypropylene coating, it creates sort of a network of little microscopic holes. And then when they inject that into the body, now the body forms scar tissue around it that kind of links up with and bonds to that, to those little microscopic holes, presumably in an effort to prevent the microchip from migrating or tunneling through the body. It only works in some cases, though. We know that in many, many cases, and this is all in our FAQ document, that when these devices are implanted into dogs and horses and other animals, that they do have a tendency even now to migrate. It's one of the big problems that they faced. And in fact, some of the researchers working on these mice and rats in the laboratory discovered that when they injected these polypropylene-coated microchips into mice, that they would tunnel through their bodies and cause cancer in completely other places than when they were originally implanted. So they'd wind up in the limbs, in their heads, sometimes down by their kidneys. And wherever they landed, they would cause cancer there.
And, of course, now what then are the animals? You know, certainly an awful lot of domestic animals, cats and dogs, have had the chips. Are some of them getting the tumors, the sarcomas as well?
Well, we know of at least two dogs that have been written up in detailed scientific articles in veterinary journals that have developed microchips. In one case, the dog developed a microchip attached, or excuse me, a fibrosarcoma that was attached to the microchip. So when the veterinarian went in and removed the cancerous mass, there was a Verichip attached to the cancer. In another case, the cancer actually completely surrounded the microchip implant, and that's what we saw in the laboratory mice and rats. Now, the industry, the microchipping folks, like to say, well, there's only been two cases. But what I would point out is that there have been two cases that went through the very exhaustive peer review process that had to take place for them to get written up and published in a medical journal. And that's not a process that most pet owners are going to undergo, and that's certainly not a process that most veterinarians are going to undergo. This is a very specialized subset of veterinary pathology where someone needs to publish a paper in specifically to further their academic career. So what we are guesstimating based on those two cases that have actually been published is that there have probably been thousands, if not tens of thousands, of cases of these types of cancers occurring in dogs and potentially in cats all around the world that simply have gone unreported.
All right, fine. Well, it's certainly something that we should not be advocating for people if there's any question at all that it's going to bring, create a sarcoma. And, of course, you have to figure the cost-benefit ratio and what's the possible benefit of actually beginning to put these Verichips into human beings. I mean, certainly they're going to tell us that, oh, my goodness, for the Alzheimer's disease patients would be great, but couldn't they just have a little ankle band, something like that?
Well, there actually are products. There's sort of a LoJack for people. I'm not sure I love this product for its own privacy reasons, but it's a bracelet. It's more like a wristwatch, and instead of having a watch face, it has a miniature LoJack device that serves the same function. It doesn't have to be implanted. It doesn't have to go inside the body. It does not pose, at least we hope it doesn't pose, a cancer risk or any of the other migration risks or infection risks that an implant would actually cause. And it's far less invasive. You don't have to come at someone with a very large hypodermic syringe and, inject that into their flesh. There are, I think, beyond, though, just the medical concerns about injecting people with microchip implants, there are a lot of, I believe, social, societal, privacy, freedom-oriented, humanistic sorts of concerns, and many people also, of course, have religious concerns about these microchip implants. And to address all of those, we've authored a piece of legislation called the Bodily Integrity Act, which is designed to protect the integrity of an individual's body by saying that no one can be required to have a microchip implant against their will without their full written informed consent under any circumstances, and that no one should be treated differently or discriminated against or offered an incentive because of their chip status. Whether they have a chip or don't have a chip, they can't be offered a discount on their health insurance or perhaps maybe be denied for a particular job or fired for their job for refusal. And we are urging all of the listeners to this radio program, please go to antichips.com. On the left-hand side, click on legislation, and you will find that we have a one-page document. It's a PDF, single-sided, very easy to read, written in plain English, that spells out exactly what kinds of protections we need to see written into state law to protect people against the threat of potential mandatory microchip implantation.
And this really is something that most people wouldn't even think would be a possible hazard at all, they can always justify this. What about this effort to introduce these into the nursery with newborns? After all, you wouldn't want to take the wrong child home, would you?
Well, I don't think even the Verichip Corporation itself claims, at least in its public statements, that it does not support or permit the chipping of children. I definitely believe, when you look at their business model, they developed a product, and your listeners are going to get a chuckle out of this, maybe a shudder out of this. They developed a product that they called X-Mark, X-M-A-R-K, and the X-Mark is an ankle bracelet version of the Verichip. It's not injected in the flesh, but it's the same technology encapsulated in an ankle bracelet that gets applied to newborns in hospitals around the country. They originally called it Hugs and Kisses, and then they rebranded it X-Mark, and why they did that I cannot even begin to guess. They recently sold that division. It was their only profitable division within the company. They sold that to Stanley Works, a Canadian company, the ones that make your garage door openers, of all things. That's a radio frequency operated device. And at last I heard half of the hospitals in Ohio were affixing these Exmark devices onto newborn babies, in some cases before they'd even cut the cord. So these babies' first introduction to the world was to have an RFID microchip tracking device affixed permanent, well, in a way that could not be removed to their bodies.
Well, now, is this going to be something like an ankle bracelet or a wrist bracelet, something like that?
That's what they did, and the idea was to prevent babies from being kidnapped from the maternity ward. But what they didn't tell you was that in the last many, many years since they've been watching it, the Center for Missing and Exploited Children has only found between 0 and 12 kids a year that are actually kidnapped from maternity wards, and of those, 95% were reunited with their mothers without this technology.
Well, of course, what they want to do is create fear. Create fear, and of course, that's how they can put these things over on the public. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Albert. Well, Catherine, do you think there's a growing awareness? Certainly, I've seen a lot of articles up there, a lot of YouTube the programs. In fact, you're usually featured in them, you know, as we actually talking about this. And certainly, your expose has certainly got, I think, a better exposure on the mass media than anything else I can think of.
Well, you know, I've been at this since prior to the time when anyone had even heard of RFID, and that's because I stumbled upon this plan through some research that I was doing, and I saw just a little mention of corporations' plans to use this technology to replace the barcode so that every physical object that we own would be implanted with one of these microchips and would be remotely trackable. The creepy thing about RFID is because it uses radio waves, that's what the RF part stands for. It stands for radio frequency ID, that's why it's RFID, and the radio frequency waves will travel right through the things that we normally carry and rely on to protect our privacy. You know, you put something into a box, or you put it in a purse or a suitcase or a backpack, and you have a presumption, at least today, that no one knows what's in there because people don't have X-ray vision. Well, the RFID tag on those items would give anyone with an RFID scanner a version of X-ray vision to where they would know everything you were wearing and carrying, every item in a woman's purse, right down to the size and color of her underwear, right through her clothing, simply by her passing within range of one of these RFID readers. The readers, according to IBM, which developed something they call the Person Tracking Unit, the reader devices they envisioned implanting in floors, walls, ceilings, doorways, literally everywhere people go, and the list of places where they wanted to put these reader devices is chilling. IBM talks about wanting to put them into airports, train stations, bus stations, shopping malls, sports arenas, museums, theaters, libraries, even elevators and public restrooms. So you can imagine you walk into the restroom and there's an RFID reader scanning you, identifying you through the tags on your belongings and even timing how long you spend in the bathroom and whether or not you wash your hands. And all that is possible with this technology.
Well, how close do you have to be to the reader for them? You know, if you have something, RFID on your underwear or RFID something in your purse, how close do you have to be before they can actually identify you?
Well, it depends. Some of the most common places people are likely to find this insidious technology, which we call spy chips, would be in their credit cards, of all things. Credit cards and ATM cards, if they're contactless or swipeless or have the words PayPass on them, then they contain an RFID spy chip right in there. And those credit cards have already been issued to literally tens of millions of Americans carrying these around in their wallets in most cases without even knowing that they have them. Those devices have a read range of a couple of inches, so you're not running the risk necessarily of walking down the street and someone tracking you. The risk you do run by carrying those is of walking through a doorway where there's a narrowed opening and the doorway has an RFID reader. In that case, you could be identified and your location could be logged. The other problem, of course, is that these credit cards contain your full name, your credit card number, and the expiration date encoded in this microchip. And anyone with an RFID reader who could simply get within 5 inches of you, that could be the person standing next to you on the elevator, or somebody walking behind you in a restaurant, or even someone just bumping into you as you walk down the streets of Manhattan, they would be able to, with a reader in their backpack, get close to you and pick up all that information to commit identity theft.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Catherine was saying that the way that these are today, you have to be about 5 inches away, but of course you could, somebody could be standing next to you in an elevator, or somebody could be standing next to you in a crowd, or somebody could get very close to you, you know, in a line at the grocery store.
Well, it gets worse.
Okay, you go ahead.
If I can, there is another version of RFID. The one I just talked about is something called near-field communications or proximity cards. There's a variety of different names for the short-range RFID. The implants that we talked about in the first segment of the program, those have a read range of about 12 inches. So, again, a fairly short read range. But the ones called EPC tags or electronic product code tags that they want to use to replace the barcode, those are truly frightening. They have a read range of about 20 to 30 feet. And making matters even worse, let me jump to the most horrifying development of all of the stuff that I've been following. That is the fact that the Department of Homeland Security has been working with the Departments of Motor Vehicles of border states to begin placing those remotely readable RFID tags into people's driver's licenses. They call them enhanced driver's licenses. They're available now in the states of Washington, New York, soon to be available in Vermont and Michigan and also in Arizona. And what they are is part of a program to expedite border crossing into Canada and Mexico so that as you approach the border crossing station in your car, the border crossing station from 20 or 30 feet away already knows you are there, brings up your information on the screen, and saves you about, they estimate it will save between 10 and 15 seconds of processing time. Now, what that means, though, is anyone who signs up, and by the way, I don't want to frighten your listeners into thinking that those might be in their driver's licenses, that is a voluntary program. People have to pay an additional fee of around $40 to be part of it. They have to be approved and enroll. It's kind of like signing up for a passport. And so you're not going to find those in your driver's licenses unless you ask for one, at least not yet. I'm sure that's coming, though, where that's going to be mandatory. And those cards, of course, the problem that they pose is that not only can they be read by border crossing agents, but it requires no special reader to read them. There's no encryption. There's no data protection whatsoever. You can use an off-the-shelf reader device, an RFID reader, that is in use at literally thousands of retail locations around the world already. Walmart, all the Walmart stock people in their distribution centers and warehouses have these readers, and you can use them to read RFID driver's licenses from 20 or 30 feet away. So it creates the nightmare scenario of a tracking environment where everyone can be tracked and all right through their wallets through these driver's licenses. Not only that, but if law enforcement or some government busybody wanted to plant a reader device by the side of the road and cars drove by, they would be able to identify all the passengers of the car just based on the RFID driver's licenses in their wallets. There's a researcher, actually a hacker by the name of Chris Padgett, who just 2 weeks ago drove around the streets of San Francisco with one of these readers in his car. And he was able, within a period of about an hour or two, to pick up literally half a dozen of these cards from random passersby as he drove up and down the streets.
Well, now what about the passports? Have they put an RFID in the passport? If so, what sort of RFID is there?
Indeed, they have. The RFID tag that began going into passports a little over a year ago, is all new passports now have an RFID tag. It's not quite as bad as the border crossing cards. I don't like RFID in any document to identify human beings. But it's not quite as bad for two reasons. One, it has a very, very short read range. It's not readable from 20 or 30 feet away. And secondly, it has encryption on it, so there's some protection. Someone with a random reader off the shelf would not be able to interpret what the data they were receiving meant. And finally, it has shielding in the cover. Because the passport is folded like a book, when the passport is closed, presumably the RF transmission cannot occur. Now, we have seen some exceptions to that. If it's open, even a crack, it can be read. But again, unless you have the government-issued reader, you'd have difficulty making sense of what you were getting.
All right. Now, the government, then, is really pushing this whole idea that trying to get these as widely distributed as possible.
Hugely. And at one point, I thought they would be our allies and protect us in this. I was so naive back then.
Well, of course, the deeper you get into this, I'm sure it becomes... the whole story is really so incredible, and I'm certainly glad you've been on the front lines doing the research. We certainly depend upon your knowledge. Are they actually putting Varad chips into people now, or have they backed off?
They backed away from that, thank goodness. And if people want to go to antichips.com or, of course, read our book, Spy Chips, which is pretty much the definitive expose on RFID, they can learn more about all these topics.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Would you like to take any callers if they call in?
Sure, I'd be delighted.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Catherine Albert. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and let's go to Frank, who's calling from West Virginia. Frank, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, actually, I want to make a quick comment that Dr. Albrecht, I met you at a conference, and I really do appreciate your videos as well as your book, and showing that the church is wherever there's an open door.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. They need to hear this information because it's very relevant to the churches right now.
Absolutely. I wanted to mention something that you had said about children that not too many people are aware of, but somebody attended our Bible study just recently, and she's right in the midst of this research with the implantable chips. And in fact, I loaned her, I had Freedom to Fascism at the time, so I loaned her that because of the clip that you were in there about, and she actually said that they are trying to develop ways to convince the public to allow children to be chipped. And they are looking at the research for that at West Virginia University.
Yes, and their children are being targeted in so many ways because they really are the next generation. Hitler understood that very well. He said, I don't care if you grown-ups oppose me. It's your kids I want, and they already belong to me because I've been indoctrinating them. The thing about children, we know already that many school districts around the country are already Pavlovian training these kids to give a fingerprint to get lunch. We know that there are many churches whose discernment is so asleep at the wheel that they're actually installing fingerprint readers to check the children into Sunday school on Sunday. See, these are people who ought to be the watchmen on the wall, and instead they're asleep. They're not watching. They're sleeping, and in fact they're actually sort of further promoting a lot of this. We know that as far as microchipping children, I believe that you're going to see it as an effort to keep them safe, to keep them away from predators, to keep them from being kidnapped, etc. You're going to first see it in the form that we're seeing it now, which is devices that can be clipped onto a backpack, watches that can be worn by children, devices that can be carried by children, sewn into their jackets that essentially serve as tracking beacons. The problem, of course, with that technology, and I say this to all parents who say, well, I really would like a tracking beacon in my son, pedophiles and stalkers and the kind of people who do those sorts of crimes are absolutely obsessed. And they are the first to latch on to new technologies. The National Network to End Domestic Violence has a whole technology division because they have seen over the years that it is those kind of obsessed, crazed people who will use any technology available to stalk their victims.
Hold that thought for just a moment here as we bring our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, I guess it's Dr. Catherine Albrecht. I will take your calls at 1-888. 24 Liberty. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We have Frank calling us from West Virginia. And certainly he was mentioning that, of course, there's an effort to try to justify, you know, at least putting these chips, if not in children, at least into their backpacks, other things. Dr. Allberg was pointing out that those people who studied this realized that the childhood predators sort of would want to use that technology so that they could, you know, find out where the children were as well. They're the people who are obsessed with these aberrations of their sexual desire. It would latch right on to anything of this sort. And so at least there's some people who are very concerned about the potential for misuse of these tracking devices. Did you have anything else?
I think the last thing in the world you want to do is put a tracking beacon onto a child. That way, if the child goes down a dark alley or is alone someplace or wanders into a park, then the predators are able to pinpoint their location. I think it's far safer, rather than relying on these technologies to keep our children safe, it's far safer to simply have a relationship with our children and keep them with us instead of allowing them out in the world to wander.
Anything else, Frank?
Oh, just quickly, I want to mention that West Virginia University is considered the biometric capital of the world, according to our governor, as well as several other politicians. So you might want to keep your eye on Morgantown, West Virginia, as far as research goes and development in this area, because they're putting billions, if not more, into Biometrics Park, large portion of the university's property, which is quite a bit of the county.
Well, Frank, I hope that you'll get the information out there, and maybe you can just allow the governor and these politicians to go into retirement, and early and undesired retirement. God bless. Thank you so much, Doctor. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I would urge Frank and anyone else listening to please download a copy of the Bodily Integrity Act. It's the bill that you can print out. It's one single page. You can put it in an envelope and address it to your state representative or your state senator and urge them to introduce that bill into your state legislature so we can have protection against human microchipping.
And once more, I want you to get out your website and any other information you'd like to get.
Sure. Our book is called Spy Chips. It's the definitive critique of RFID. It came out in 2005 and again in 2006, and it's every bit as current today as it was when we wrote it. I wouldn't change a word of it. All of the information about this technology that was so ahead of its time at that time is now coming true exactly the way that my co-author Liz McIntyre and I predicted. So I would urge people to get a copy of Spy Chips. You can find that on my website at KatherineAlbrecht.com, or you can find it at major bookstores and certainly online bookstores. Very easy to come by. It was a top 10 Amazon nonfiction bestseller, so definitely able to be found on the shelves. The websites are antichips.com, where you can read all about the human implant, KatherineAlbrecht.com, where you can hear about my daily radio program on the Communications Network. I'm on from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and talking about these and other freedom-related issues. So that's all at KatherineAlbrecht.com. And then if you'd like to learn more generally about the issue of RFID, of course, there's SpyChips.com. So antichips, SpyChips, and KatherineAlbrecht.com would be the three websites. And can I give people a privacy tip here?
Go right ahead.
All right. One of the things that's been really disturbing me in recent weeks, and indeed in recent months, has been taking a look at the 800-pound gorilla of the data collection sector, and that would be Google. And Google has been coming out with some extremely disturbing products in recent months. Most recently, Google came out with a product called Google Latitude, which allows you to turn your cell phone into a tracking device and lets your friends log on and determine your location using cell phone triangulation. So it's sort of taking the worst feature of your phone and turning it into something that the whole world can log on to and see. Terrible idea. Google also has created a plan to make all of our electronic medical records, put all of our visits to the doctor, every prescription medication, into a single medical record. That's actually been funded under this most recent stimulus plan that was just signed by President Obama. So we're seeing many, many incursions. I could go on and on with all of the privacy-invading products. But what I want people to be aware is that every time you log on to Google and you do a web search, that web search is linked with your IP address, and it is linked with all of your other Google web searches that you have ever made. They have a massive dossier on virtually every person in this country. Every sniffle you get, every time you're going to go, even when we're going to a restaurant, we look it up on Google to get the phone number to call for a reservation. When your son stubs his toe, you look up stub toe on Google. Now they know that. It's incredible the amount of information that we are unthinkingly giving to Google. And I want to urge people to consider giving up Google, pulling the Google needle out of their arms and switching to a search engine that does not record that kind of information and that doesn't invade their privacy.
And I certainly share your concern about that. And I think people have to understand, you have to ask, why would Google be keeping track of every website we go to, and who can have access to that information? And I'm sure there are people within the intelligence agencies that are like the Defense Department that's keeping dossiers on every American citizen.
Well, let me tell you what was the last drop for me. It was in November when I learned, along with the rest of America, that Google had been taking all of the searches related to the flu. So if you search for thermometer, fever, flu, congestion, coughing, etc., they were taking all of that, identifying people's locations through their IP address, and they created the Google Flu Map, actually pinpointing locations where people had the flu and designating those as outbreak areas, and then they shared all of that information with the Centers for Disease Control. Now, they anonymized it. They didn't tell you who was searching for a thermometer, but they knew, and they easily could have told that. So I figured if they've got that kind of power to identify at that level what people are doing, then, and they're already turning it over to the government, it is just a matter of time before these huge databases and dossiers being created on us are used for ill. So back in November, I actually went on a very intensive search trying to find an alternative to Google, because like everybody else, I've been unthinkingly using it for years. And I found a search engine. It's based in the Netherlands. It's a big thing over in Europe, but it's little known here in the U.S. It's called IxQuick, ixquick.com. It's spelled IxQuick. So Ix and then Quick, like the Quick Brown Fox. It has been third-party certified and also certified by the European Data Authority that it does not collect your IP address at all. So when you log on to IxQuick and you make a search, they don't know who you are, they don't care who you are, and they don't record who you are or what you searched for. So I made the switch over to IxQuick. I would urge everybody listening to try giving up Google and switching to IxQuick for just a week, and I bet you'll never go back.
Is that IxCLICK?
It's IX and then Quick, like the Quick Brown Fox. Quick like Speedy. So it's IxQuick.
Oh, Quick, okay.
And, yeah, there's a button right on the homepage where you can load it into your browser. So it'll actually pop up in the top of the little window at the top of your internet browser, and then you can just do your searches right into there, and the searches are easy to come by. I like it because not only are they making the privacy promise, but the search results are I'd say about 95% as good as Google's, and I'm willing to fudge on that 5% in exchange for my privacy any day.
I think that's a point well made. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we're going to go to Mark, who's calling us from Oregon. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. Good to speak with you. And also good to speak with you, Dr. Albright. I've been following you through the years, and just want to thank you for all your valuable expose of this potential evil, at any rate, if it's not already to some degree an evil.
Now, I think it is an evil. I wouldn't equivocate on it, but go right ahead. I mean, when we realize that they're keeping dossiers on us, I mean, this is unconscionable, and I think we ought to let them know. And I'll tell you what, when millions of people start going to IxQuick or something else, why, of course, they're going to get the message pretty quickly. We are in the driver's seat, not them. But go ahead. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah. Dr. Albright, I wanted to ask you, as far in your knowledge of the global implementation of these chips into people intradermally, I have a strong suspicion at this point in time that that's actually the end game of the chip technology by those who have brought it into our reality to try
Are you
follow.
Speaking, Mark, from a spiritual perspective or simply from a human control and domination?
Oh, this is from a human control perspective with a religious perspective overlaying from my point of view.
Well, if you've been following my work, you know that as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian
yes,
who's
ma'am.
Been saved under the blood of Christ, that I am absolutely convinced that these technologies are satanic in origin. I'm absolutely convinced that we are on a collision course with the mark of the beast as described in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. And let me slow down and say that again because people are going, huh? The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, if you turn to chapter 13, which is easy to remember because it's the bad luck number there, so last book of the Bible, chapter 13, look at the last verses there, and you'll see that the Apostle John, in his old age on the Isle of Patmos off the coast of Greece, had a vision, which is the book of Revelation. And in there, he was shown a time when an evil ruler would rise up and rule the entire planet. And one of the things that that evil ruler would do would be to prohibit anyone from buying and selling unless he or she had a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and that, of course, is the mark of the beast and the 666 that we know of from popular culture. So that whole mark concept, using a mark to buy and sell, having that become a universal requirement, is probably only conceivable for the first time now in this technological era. We're the first generation to ever see the technological ability to fulfill that prophecy. You know, for 2,000 years, people have scratched their heads and tried to understand it. Isaac Newton, one of the smartest minds that ever lived, devoted over 1 million words to understanding it, and yet he couldn't because it was too early. But in this particular point in time, we know that it's possible to have a mark in your right hand that transmits a number that can be used to buy and sell. In fact, people have already implanted these things in their hands and used them as payment instruments. So, you know, is it going to be an RFID implant? I don't know, but I certainly know that this is one of the mileposts on the road to that.
Dr. Albrecht, have you heard about the actual nanotattoos that are supposed to be just as capable, if not more so, of...
Indeed, I have. And you're probably referring to the SOMARK, the S-O-M-A-R-K, SOMARK tattoo.
Okay.
This is a radio frequency tattoo, and it's very important because... if you look at our Bodily Integrity Act, our bill on the antichips.com website, and we click on legislation, that one-page bill I've been talking about actually is very clear not to say microchip implant, because the SOMARK tattoo is different from the implant because it doesn't have a microchip. It actually, they found a way to inject the electromagnetic ink into a body in such a way that it gives a unique response. So when I hit it with the reader, I hit it with radio waves, I get back a unique pattern that translates into a number. When I do that on somebody else with a different tattoo, I get back a different pattern that translates into a different number, and I don't need a microchip to do it. So we definitely we wanted to be very open about the kinds of technologies we want to protect people from and not simply say microchip, because that may be yesterday's technology here soon, as we develop even more sophisticated ways to number people using electromagnetic radiation.
Is there a point now where you actually, they could actually implement the whole chip system? They have enough chips already made, basically, where they can implement it at any time that they want to?
I don't believe so, because and that's really where I think a lot of the work that's happened in the last 2 years has been so crucial in setting them back, because once it was discovered that these things caused cancer, I think a whole lot of initiatives really ground to a halt. And I don't believe that there are huge warehouses full of gleaming microchips intended for implantation into human beings.
That's good to hear. Okay. Well, God bless you, Ms. Dr. Albrecht, and God bless you, Dr. Stan. Thank you all very much.
That's Dr. Albrecht, but that's all right. Thanks very much.
See you right next time.
And let's go to Joe, who's calling us from Idaho. Hi, Joe. How are you doing? Joe, let's see. Let's get Joe here. Yeah, hi, there we are. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's an honor to speak with you and Catherine as well. My comment is, and I'm a born-again Christian as well, but quite frequently, and I haven't really heard anybody speak, always about Revelation 13, but the consequence of taking this mark is in Revelation 14. And the consequence sometimes drives people to not want this. So I just read this quick, if I could, if that's all right.
Go right ahead quickly, though.
Okay. 14:9 says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." 11. and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
That's
and
right.
My comment would be, if this is the mark, then this would apply. We don't know that yet, but then this should be something that I want, what I would like to hear when pastors speak about this mark of the beast, is it's as if it's an inevitability anyway, is to speak about the consequence as well.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, and I appreciate it, and I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's what Catherine's doing, and what we're really trying to do, is awaken Christians to the point of understanding that we're living in what I believe are truly prophetic days. But God bless, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay, fine. And Chris, so somebody asked whether the RFID produces any radiation. Does the RFID just sitting in your body create radiation?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it's not quite so easy to answer. The RFID tags that they want to put in consumer products that are in the driver's licenses and indeed in people and animals are what's called passive. That means that they do not generate anything on their own. They just sit there inert. Well, not inert, but they sit there passively waiting for an external electromagnetic wave to wake them up. Now, that's not radiation in the sense of, you know, radioactivity, but it is electromagnetic radiation. It's a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. It's similar to what is in your cell phone. It is emitted by the reader devices. So the world that these guys envision is one where these reader devices are everywhere, like I talked about, train stations, shopping malls, etc. So they envision a world where we would be surrounded by essentially mini cell phone towers, I guess would be one way to look at it. They'd be in our doors, in our shelving, in our floors, in our ceilings. They'd be all around us, bombarding us continually with electromagnetic radiation. The microchip implants, if they're inside of the human body or an animal body, would be picking up and responding to those, picking up and amplifying that energy. So that's one of the possible reasons why these microchip implants cause cancer in mice and rats, because it may be picking up ambient or environmental electromagnetic radiation and amplifying it continually inside the body of the animal.
All right, fine. Well, Krista, now, is your book, I know you actually have a copy of your edition of your book on RFID, from a Christian perspective, is that back in print? Is that available at the present
time?
It's
actually not, and that had to do with our book coming out in paperback with Penguin Plume Books.
Right.
They actually, one of the conditions there was they didn't want the Christian book, which was a paperback, to compete with their book. So if you can get a copy, it's a rare find. It's called The Spy Chip's Threat, Why Christians Should Resist RFID and Electronic Surveillance.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we've got Craig calling in from San Diego. Hi, Craig. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Dr. Stan. I'm at work, so I'll be brief. My question had to do with, is there any way to ruin the RFID chip, like, if it's in your driver's license, could you put it in the microwave?
Well, we know, and you can see pictures of this in my book, Spy Chips, that when you put an RFID tag in the microwave, it does destroy it, but it also destroys the thing it's in. It tends to burst into flames or char or turn black and smoke, so I certainly wouldn't recommend the microwave as your first line of defense. What you can do, if you want to destroy the RFID tag, say, in your passport, and by the way, your passport will still be valid even if the RFID chip doesn't work. What some people have advocated on the Internet or suggested is effective is taking a ball peen hammer, that's a pointed hammer, and putting the passport or whatever the offending item is into, you know, put it between maybe two layers of toweling or a sheet so that it's got a little protection, and then just bang the heck out of it. And that will actually cause the microchip in there to break from its housing and to no longer transmit. So that's certainly one way to do it. A microwave is a fail-safe way, but if you do it, you want like 2 seconds worth, and you have to bear in mind that the object could char and smoke. I would never put a driver's license or a passport into the microwave because that char mark would be clear evidence that you were trying to destroy the tag, and that form of mutilation could actually be problematic.
All right. Anything else, Craig?
So the RFID chip heats up that quickly?
Yeah, it's designed, the microwave is the RFID tag, the passive RFID tag is designed to pick up and amplify electromagnetic radiation, small amounts of it from the reader. What a microwave is huge amounts of that same kind of energy. And so because it picks it up and amplifies it, it just blows it up.
Yeah, I see. Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, thanks very much, Craig, and certainly our guest, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. And, so at least there seems to be a growing awareness across the country. I just hope and pray that the Christians will begin to put the dots together and see the relationship between this technology, its developing, and why at this time in history, as we seem to hear so many of our leaders talking about the necessity of a one-world government, this new world order, call it what you will. And all of these things are prophetic, and I think that really what exciting times it is to know the Lord. In fact, if I didn't know the Lord, I would be just frightened to death today.
Boy, you and me both. I every single day I thank Him that I see the big picture and that I'm saved, because if I weren't, I think I'd be running very, very scared right now, because I think all of us are beginning to feel the nature of that beast that is nipping at all of our heels.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Of course, she'll be with us again next month on the same slot in the month. And thank you so very much, Catherine. It's so good to have you with us, and keep us abreast of what's really going on.
I sure appreciate it. And I'm going to again urge people, stop using Google, switch to IxQuick, get a copy of our book, Spy Chips, and check out all of our research in the FAQ available at antichips.com. Thank you, Dr. Stan, and God bless you for all you do.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and of course, we're going to let her go now, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners we've actually got the book, Spy Chip. We carry it. We have a 4-tape set on Spy Chip, and we've got a great new set of DVDs that are put out by our friend, Pastor Billy Crone. And of course, we suggest people, to get his series on the Final Countdown. There's actually 10 DVDs and 2 sets, Part 1 and Part 2. And he, of course, has a set on Creation, Part 1, Part 2. And of course, he's a very, very effective speaker. You have to get used to him. He surprises you a little, but he's got great information. And, of course, the big thing that he has a tremendous number of video clips in there, and some of these clips are so important that you see, and he's actually got these from the people who are manufacturing these chips. They tell you exactly what they're going to do. So, certainly we carry the book Spy Chip. We carry the 4-tape set on Spy Chips, goes into the idea, of course, of all the animals, all the animals that every farm are supposed to be chipped at the present time. And if you're not doing it, you don't know it, but you are a federal criminal. And then, of course, this set, it's called RFID Identification, RFID Identification by Pastor Billy Crone. Then if you haven't seen his series on Spy Chips or on Creation, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you remember my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get it to read it to understand the overview of the spiritual battle that's going on. And then our talk on the Forbidden Secret, which will take you back 5,000 years to the time of Nimrod and then bring it right up to date. And then, of course, you want to get the syllabus that goes with that. Because you can actually, as you go back and you read President Bush's inaugural addresses each time he was sworn into the presidency, and all the terms that were used there, talking really about the prophetic significance of what's going on, as you begin to talk about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm, and use that term twice in, of course, the initial inaugural address, and nobody's going to tell you what he was talking about any more than people will tell you what he was talking about in the second inaugural address when he talked about the fire in the minds of men. But, of course, that's a term that certainly was used as the basis of the title of James H. Billington's book on the world revolution, on the secret societies that are running the world. We carry the book. James H. Billington is the Librarian of Congress, and his book is one of the 5 most important books in my library. That's Fire in the Minds of Men, and of course, goes right along with the second inaugural address that President Bush gave, and we actually give you the addresses to explain that what this is all about. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We do have Leo on from Pennsylvania. I'll have to talk to Leo after the program because we're running out of time. If you have not yet, of course, made your preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, you probably ought to hear my talk on the financial tsunami, and as the syllabus goes with that, I gave the talk some years ago. We have a great new book. It's called The Money Creators. Actually, you get it up on Amazon. When I looked the other day, they had four copies. They're $39.95. Ours are $14.95. Same book, but you need to understand that what's going on today is part of a long-range plan. This whole financial collapse is carefully engineered. If you need more information, go to my website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, read my November and December newsletters, November and December 2008. And understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Again, please pray for America, pray for the revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.